Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. One of the purposes of the season of Lent is to remind us that we are truly strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And as we make our way through the wilderness of this world to our heavenly home, we need refreshment. We need rest. Because life in a fallen world is hard. There are daily obligations and responsibilities that come with our various stations in life, constantly demanding our attention. There are disappointments and tears that inevitably come with our human relationships in all kinds of circles. There's a never-ending stream of needs and wants that come with having flesh and blood. All these and more besides can feel like a weighty burden that we must take upon our shoulders every single morning, day after day, until we die. But dear Christians, you need not feel that way, for God has promised to give you new mercies every morning, and a hope that extends past death unto eternal life. For you have a Lord Jesus Christ, true God, and true man, who knows your burdens. More than that, he has sympathy for your burdens. Even more than that, he is able to bear your burdens. So whether it be in this 40-day pilgrimage of Lent, or the 70 or 80-year pilgrimage of earthly life, Jesus Christ is there, ready, willing, and able to give you rest in body and in soul. This is the lesson taught in our gospel today. Now, prior to the event recorded in John chapter 6, Jesus had sent out the 12 apostles two by two to preach the coming of the kingdom of heaven, to heal the sick, and to cast out demons. But he warned them that this mission would not be easy. Not every house would receive their ministry gladly. And Jesus warned them that they would be persecuted for his name's sake. And this would become all too evident as John the Baptist was arrested and finally beheaded by King Herod for his steadfast preaching against his unlawful marriage. And so then, the disciples returned to Jesus, having labored in preaching and healing and casting out demons. And after John had been martyred for his faithful proclamation of God's law, Jesus then said to the 12, "Come away by yourselves to rest for a little while in a desolate place." "Come and have some rest," Jesus said, because, as Mark tells us in his gospel, they didn't even find enough time to eat. And yet a large crowd followed them to that desolate place because they saw the signs that Jesus was doing on the sick. And so when Jesus saw the multitudes of crowds gathering around him, he was filled with compassion for them, seeing that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he spent the day in that desolate place, not in rest, not in refreshment, but in teaching the crowds many things and in healing their sick. But as the day grew late, concern arose among the disciples as to where and how they would all get food. Now, in these matters leading up to the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, we have a pretty good cross-section of the various burdens that we all must bear as we make our way through this earthly life. Like the 12 disciples who labored in their teaching and healing, we must work hard in our various stations, those to which the Lord has called us, the home, the community, the church. We do so not for our own prosperities or comfort's sake, but for the sake of others, for those neighbors whom God has given to us. Like the disciples and like Jesus himself, who had heard of John's death at the hands of King Herod, our days are filled with grief and sorrow, perhaps for ourselves, perhaps for others, as we hear and then wrestle with the terrible effects of sin in the world. Like the crowds, who are like sheep without a shepherd, ignorant of the truth and suffering in the body, We also are often harassed by the false and harmful teachings of this world and helpless in the face of so much pain and suffering. Like those who gathered around Jesus on the mountain as the day grew late and empty stomachs began to growl, we are always aware of the many needs of this body and life. And at certain times and at certain places, we feel those needs more acutely than others. These burdens of life, labor, grief, ignorance, suffering, lack, and more, are borne by us all each and every day. To be sure, their weight may wax or wane. Sometimes one is heavier than the other. But there is not a single person who doesn't feel their weight on his shoulders, somehow, some way. Again, as we make our way through the wilderness of this world as strangers and pilgrims, we need refreshment. We need rest. Most people have no idea how to find that in any way that truly satisfies or endures. They try to find their comfort, their relief in all kinds of places in the world, even in sin, power, earthly knowledge, health, wealth, family and friends, in themselves. But all of these ultimately disappoint. They often leave one feeling even more burdened and less refreshed than before. Those who try to find any kind of lasting comfort in the things of this world often end up like the Israelites in our Old Testament lesson today, grumbling, because they feel the weight of their burdens, but they don't know how or where to find rest, and so they can only accuse God and his servants of maliciousness. And furthermore, because many find no relief from their own burdens in the things of this world, they also struggle to find any strength or desire to help others bear their burdens. As the disciples realized the day was growing late and people needed to eat, they could only first go to Jesus and tell him to send them all away to the surrounding towns and villages so they could buy their own food, because they were in a desolate place. And then even when Jesus turned it back on those disciples and told them to give the people something to eat, even if they had to buy it themselves, the disciples could only focus on the enormity of the task. Philip said, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Or they could only focus on their lack. Andrew said, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Too often we are like the Israelites and like the disciples in this regard, grumbling over the things we don't have, unwilling or unable to help others with what they don't have. But thanks be to God, Jesus was never like that. Jesus never grumbled or complained that he deserved more or better than what he had received. He never was content to let others fend for themselves and take care of their own problems. Jesus never worried how much was needed or how little he had. Instead, out of love, Jesus always made the necessities of others his own. He took on their weariness, their sorrow, their suffering, their hunger, and he fulfilled it all. And so the disciples, who had been engaged in hard work, teaching and working miracles, who were no doubt grieved when they heard about John's death, so in mercy Jesus called them to come away for a while and rest. The crowds, they were like sheep without a shepherd. They'd been deceived and misled for a long time by the false doctrine of the Pharisees, chief priests, and scribes. And they were suffering the effects of a fallen creation. So in mercy, Jesus set aside his own rest in order to teach them the good news of the kingdom of God and to heal the sick and the suffering who were brought to him. As the day grew late in the wilderness, the crowds grew hungrier and hungrier. So Jesus, in mercy, took 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, as much as they wanted. and nothing has changed over the centuries. Crucified, risen, and ascended to the Father's right hand, Jesus is still the abundant provider of all that you need to support your body and your soul. For you who are weary with all the ongoing responsibilities of your daily life, Jesus still gives you rest. For those of you who are sorrowful and grieve in the face of death, Jesus still gives you comfort. For those of you who are perplexed by the lies and deceit of the world around you, Jesus still offers you wisdom. For those of you who are suffering all kinds of ailments and afflictions in this mortal body, Jesus gives you healing. For those who are lacking in what you need to support this body and life, Jesus gives you provision. And he does all of these things in ways that truly satisfy. Nothing else, not the world, certainly not sin, not pleasure, not power, not knowledge, not health, not wealth, nothing. Nothing else can satisfy completely or eternally. But Jesus can. Jesus does. He has the power and the authority to do so, and he delights to do so because he loves you. He knows the burdens that you are bearing day after day because he bore them all himself. He is true man, even as he is true God, which means he knows how it is to work, to grieve, to suffer, to hunger. Remember that he was on the mountain with his disciples in the first place because he was looking to rest for a while, because he had been so busy that he hardly found any time to eat. And so Jesus truly sympathizes with you in your weaknesses, having been tempted in every respect as you are, and yet he without sin. And because he is without sin, he did not use his physical rest, his need for physical rest, as an excuse to ignore the crowd's needs. Instead, he helped all who came to him by preaching the gospel and healing the sick. So as the 5,000 would acclaim him after seeing the sign of the bread and fish, Jesus truly is the prophet who was to come into the world. He is the fulfillment of what Moses prophesied long ago as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 18. He is the prophet whom the Lord God raised up from among the people. He was, is, and ever shall be our brother according to his humanity. But was, is, and ever shall be our Lord according to his divinity. And therefore he is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. All things are given into his hands, and so all things come through him, from his hands. All that you have and enjoy in this earthly life, the fruits of your labor, the comfort of family and friends, your daily bread in all the forms it takes, all comes from Jesus. But his compassion for you goes far deeper than merely giving you temporal rest and refreshment. For the feeding of the 5,000 is a sign, as John records it, a sign pointing to a greater rest and refreshment in Christ himself, who truly fills and satisfies and endures unto eternal life. As our mediator, he not only gives us our daily bread, but also eternal heavenly blessings, forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation. The true bread of life come down from heaven is not miraculously multiplied barley loaves. It isn't the manna that appeared each morning in the wilderness. The true bread of life, the true bread of heaven, is Jesus. And he gives himself to us in and through the gospel. The good news that he gave his body and shed his blood for your redemption. Thus later in John chapter 6 he would say, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life." We do this, we eat and drink of him when we receive by faith all that he has to offer us in the gospel. That he, Christ, is our true Passover lamb. That he has been sacrificed for the sins of the world. That his death on the cross is for us. for the forgiveness of sins. By this spiritual eating and drinking, which really is nothing other than believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have all that He would give: forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. And because of that, we have in every trouble and tribulation this sure confidence, this sure trust, this sure comfort. God is gracious to us. Salvation is ours eternally because the Lord Jesus Christ gave His flesh into death and shed His blood for us. Yes, daily life in a fallen world is hard, burdensome even. But God's mercies are new to us every morning. They are undeserved, yes, for in truth we deserve only punishment, now and eternally. Nevertheless, by grace alone, God receives us as His children, and He abundantly provides for all our needs of body and soul. And so, as we prayed moments ago in the collect of the day, our response as Christians to this blessing is threefold. First, we heartily acknowledge God's merciful goodness toward us. All those earthly things that we need in this life, which cannot satisfy in any real way in and of themselves, become more than satisfactory when we receive them from God in faith. When we see our food and drink, family and friends, goods and possessions, and everything else that comes to us in this life with the stamp of heaven on it, as coming from our Savior's loving hand, then and only then can we truly enjoy them. Then and only then can we truly find happiness in them. For we know that our real happiness comes from Jesus, and these are but tokens of His love for us, and but a foretaste of the even greater blessings that we are going to enjoy in heaven. In the second place, we give thanks for all of God's benefits to us. Think of the 5,000 who are there on the mountain. Better yet, think of the little boy who had the 5 barley loaves and 2 fish there. He surely never forgot what happened on that day. He probably told everyone he could for all his days. And so also by faith, we have more than enough reason to thank and praise the Lord for all His benefits to us. Blessings of daily bread for this body, more than that, blessings of forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the soul. Third, and finally, we are called to serve God in willing obedience. And this happens when we, following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, take the needs of others and make them our own. This is not just theoretical. It's certainly not impossible. The early church did this, as we just heard. They held all things in common, and they ensured that no one among them lacked anything. Now, this generosity and compassion, this sharing, was not forced on them unwillingly. They did it gladly. They did it from a new heart because they had been regenerated through the waters of holy baptism. They were strengthened and preserved through the apostles' teaching, that is the Word of God, and the breaking of bread, that is the Lord's Supper. We are no different than they. We too have been reborn through water and the Spirit and baptism. We too are fed and nourished by Christ in His Word and Holy Sacrament. And so we too will go forth and show compassion toward others and do what we can do to help them in their need, using what God has freely given to us, whether it be much or just a little bit, because by faith we know that we are stewards of what He possesses and gives. So no matter what you lack in this life, no matter what burdens you bear day after day, no matter how weary you may feel, take heart. The Lord Jesus Christ is for you, always, even to the end of the age. And that's why He calls you to gather around Himself today and next week and week after week, to lift up your hearts from this earth unto the Lord, to eat His body and drink his blood under the bread and wine. For Jesus is here, present to give you a foretaste of the feast to come in heaven. So take and eat and drink of it, all of you. Be refreshed and renewed. The journey home as a stranger and pilgrim is long, yes, but it is not without end. There is a destination. There is a goal. There is a home. And in that home, which is heaven itself, you will finally find perfect peace, perfect rest, a fullness that will last forever and ever. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.